Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports with two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor, select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. I'm joined as always by G. Hey Wiley, Brandon Deutsch, Jake Dicker. How are we doing on this beautiful day?
Not too shabby, actually. Not too shabby. Shout out to Kim Glass. Hope you're feeling a little bit better.
That's right.
Day by day.
Yeah, doing great. Doing great. Happy to be here.
I'm doing well. Glad to be back in the studio with you. Yesterday, I said I was back with them for the first time in a week, but you weren't here yesterday, so I'm glad that you're here.
I am glad to be back. You know, flying back from Las Vegas. By the way, not a problem to fly back on a Monday. That Sunday, it's just crazy. It's crazy. So, generally speaking, if I can fly back on Monday, I prefer it. Drive back or fly back, although the flight's so easy. 45 minutes, wheels up, wheels down. So, let's do that again soon. All right, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports, Circa Millions, and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, G-Hey.
The NBA Board of Governors is expected to approve the play-in tournament as a regular part of future league seasons. The NBA has been voting on the play-in's inclusion on a year-to-year basis for the 2020, 2021, and the 2021-2022 seasons. But the support exists ahead of Tuesday's ownership meeting at the Summer League to turn the competition into a regular component of the league schedule. The Board of Governors is also expected to pass a competition into a regular component of the league. Sorry, I just repeated the headline. The Board of Governors is also expected to pass a rule that penalizes the take foul on fast breaks with a free throw and possession of the ball for the offense. Another proposal would also shorten the regular season from 82 to 78 games. Guys, what are your thoughts on these proposals?
All right, a lot to unpack here. Let's start with the first one. I am not a big fan of the tournament, and I'll tell you why, because I have no history. There's no, you know, in soccer, they have these tournaments, like, as a part of the schedule. Maybe at one point, once I see it, you know, because here's the thing. Change is weird in sports. I've grown to like the way things are. So with the play-in tournament, for example, I was not a proponent of that. I thought that they needed it during the pandemic. Fans loved it. It does provide some competition at the end of the season for teams that are not playoff teams. So I have grown to appreciate the play-in tournament. Maybe I will appreciate this tournament that they're going to have like at some point during the season. According to the reports, it'll be done around Christmas time. So what that'll effectively do, it'll allow fans to kind of care about these games October, November, December. Shortening the season, I've always been a fan of that. I think the season is too long, so I'm fine with that. The take foul, listen, people are still going to foul, but at least you know, if you're going to be fouling someone during a fast break, yes, give them a free throw, give them possession of the ball.
Yeah, you know, just to unpack that, I am actually a fan of the play-in tournament. I feel like it prioritizes and makes it important to get a top seven or a six seed, rather. And then if you're the seven seed, then you just need to win one game. Same thing with the eight seed versus the nine seed. And also, if the nine and 10 seeds are close, then it gives a shot like the New Orleans Pelicans to get into the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying they deserve it, being like 10 games under 500 and whatnot. I know that's an argument against that. But at the same time, that makes all those regular season games that more important, right?
Yeah.
And we saw what happened with seeding too, when Boston didn't care about ducking Brooklyn. They wanted to play Brooklyn. They destroyed them, yeah. Right? Like, there's not as much ducking opponents anymore. It's kind of just like, okay, we just want to get as many wins as possible in the season. I agree with you, Arash. I do think it needs to be shortened. I personally loved it before we were entering the bubble, like a 72-game season for the TV deals. I like that a lot. I like 72 games. I know it might be shortened to 78 games. 82 is too long. You know, with load management, people aren't playing. You know, people are going to get hurt. That's just what's going to happen. I know an argument against that is history, right? What happened, you know, 82 games. Like, Jordan played all 82 games one year and blah, blah, blah. You know, but, like, at the end of the day, like, everything's subject to change with time. And right now, like, the way the athletes take care of their bodies, you know, the strenuous activity that they're doing versus the old game, it's like, I think it should be 72 games. And finally, with the take foul, thank gosh, years in the making. I mean, this is something that needed to be penalized years ago. It's just the worst thing in sports. It ruins fast breaks. Foul-wise, it ruins fast breaks. People are going to be wide open, and now it's penalized. Love to see it.
Yeah.
Arash, I'm kind of like you in the sense that I'm like a traditionalist, yeah. And that's why I'm on the fence with the play-in tournament. Like, I think I like it just because I like more competitive games. Like, I'll watch if there's a winner go home, like in the 9-10 game when the loser's gone, like I'll watch any two teams play a winner go home game in sports. So I think I'm a fan of it. I'm not positive. In terms of the take foul, Brandon nailed it. I mean, it has to go. It slows down the game. I mean, the guys are wide open on fast breaks and teams are just able to, you know, foul and slow the game down. No reason for that. In terms of shortening the season, I'm a fan of it if there's something in the CBA that incentivizes guys to play games. Because if there's less games and guys just sitting for load management purposes and it's even less time with these stars on the floor, I don't know how much I love it. But I think if they shorten the season, there's going to be something in the CBA where guys are either paid more if they're on the floor for a certain period of time or penalized if they're not. I guess it's the same thing, honestly. It's either more money or less money. But yeah, getting rid of the take foul is the biggest win here, in my opinion, by far.
I don't agree with the take foul, but that's okay. How often, my question though for that is, how often did you guys play pickup when you were kids?
All the time.
A lot.
Okay, how about this? How often did you play in a hostile environment for pickup?
Almost every time.
I'm just saying, because that's obviously where that foul originates from. It originates from going and playing ball at your local park or whatever. It's going to play like the best of the best at the local park. I get where your head's at, and I totally understand where the argument is. I'm just giving you kind of devil's advocate here.
So you like the take foul?
I like the take foul.
It's because strategy, but like,
exactly. Like, I think it's so that, you know, these guys don't get hurt. You know, they don't get, and yes, it slows the game down, but there's a lot of other things that slow the game down as well.
But so, I would argue that with like more guys get hurt with the take foul, because you can pull a knee, you can like grab somebody and stuff. I mean, like, what's gonna happen? Someone's gonna get hurt on a fast break dunk.
Here's the thing: you can get killed walking a doggy. So like, I think that like you can walk across the street and bam, you can get hit by a car. So like, I
that wouldn't be a good day for
one. No, it would not. It would not. But I'm just saying, you can get fouled. You can get hurt like by not even being touched.
Take foul, that's the first argument I've ever heard for the take foul. I think 99.9% of people are against the take foul.
I've just seen the change that there's been overseas with the removal of it and then the way that they've adopted it. And it's just, I just like that style.
Don't turn the ball over. You're incentivizing turnovers with the take foul.
I also think you guys also grew up a little soft as well, so that might be another reason for this take foul.
I mean, the take foul is soft. It's soft.
Yeah, but at the same time, like they're trying to help you out, aren't they? With the take foul, like as far
they're trying to help their team out, so they don't get a fast break dunk.
Bails defenses out that are
offenses that turn the ball over. It to me makes no sense. Like, protect the ball.
All right. Well, that's my only argument for it. I agree. It does take away from the game, but I'm not 100% okay with them completely getting rid of it and penalizing people for it. That's all.
So the play-in tournament. I wanted to get your thoughts.
Oh, I love the play-in tournament.
Because I remember when they first had it, and we first started the show 2 years ago when they first had it, and I said, I don't get it. Now, I think I've grown to appreciate it. But at the beginning, I'm thinking, like, why do I, like, it's a one-game thing. But I really like, last year, not this past season, but the season before that, the Lakers-Warriors game. And people forget that. The Lakers beat the Warriors in a play-in tournament game. And then a year later, we saw what happened. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you like March Madness, it's one and done.
That's true.
That's why that play-in tournament is so exciting, right? You get that one and done. The season counts a lot more with that play-in tournament, right? You have to actually,
yeah,
you know, you can't flop your season if you're on that cusp or whatever. So I love the play-in tournament. I think it's great. I think it's great for competition. I think it's great for the sport. I love the fact that they're trying to cut the regular season as well. I'm very okay with that as well. I wish it was 72, not 78.
Yeah.
Like Brandon said, I'm 100% all for that. I think it's way too long for the consumer. However, this is another NBA kind of getting soft and not allowing these like 82 games and the toughening
and that's
up and
where
whatever.
Where Jake brings up incentivizing playing the games in the CBA needs to be, you know, adjusted.
No, sure. I 100% agree with you on that one. But yeah, as far as the play-in tournament, I love it.
And the thing is, so far now, like over the past 20 years, we've had a 50-game season, we've had a 60-game or 62-game season. We've had these weird years. So like I get it would be weird for people to have a shortened season. It's not going to be a lot shorter, but just a little bit shorter. Like these games count.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning of the season, unless you're a hoop fan, most of these people don't care until Christmas. This is like, okay, like let's shorten this season. We don't have to play so many games.
Absolutely. I mean, for the casual fan, God, they get bored real quick, right?
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, we're not the casual fan. You're not talking to us. So, like, the more games, the merrier. That's great, whatever. But for the casual fan, if you want that money rolling in, shorten the season just a little.
Because I misheard your question, because I think another thing that they're going to be talking about is the tournament during the season. And I don't know what
that... I disagree with that completely.
Okay. Because I think the league is saying, okay, these games from the beginning of the year, like let's just say like October or something, till around Christmas, no one cares. So let's have like some kind of a tournament. Now, I don't know what that even looks like.
I don't think
Adam Silver's gonna turn the NBA into a Mickey Mouse league. I mean, come on, why would you have a tournament midseason? No one cares. And then like the WCF and ECF finals MVPs, you know, in both conferences, you don't want to give more arguments for stuff that quite frankly does not matter.
Yeah.
The reason why the NBA is a good product right now is because you wait all year for the finals, right? You wait all year for the Super Bowl. There's no NFL let's go Niners rate like a four team tournament in each division, right? Yeah. Or something like that. Like,
yeah, I also
you know what I mean?
I wonder how like a midseason tournament, will that like devalue an NBA championship?
I don't
like,
think so. I think they're gonna compare it to soccer where they have the Premier League championship, Champions League, which is obviously something else, and then like the, you know,
it's like different conference.
It's
like
different,
conference,
yeah. So like
soccer's not my thing.
I know, I feel you.
What are they just gonna throw champagne at a midseason?
I'll watch it. I just don't understand all the different leagues and
it'll be like when the Timberwolves won the play-in tournament game. Pop the champagne. We're the 8th seed.
Ouch. Well, popping champagne for this next headline. Arash, your tweet made some news yesterday. Your tweet that you would love to see the WNBA All-Star Game regularly played in Las Vegas during the first week of the NBA Summer League. The WNBA All-Star Game would take center stage the first Saturday or Sunday with NBA All-Stars, rookies, and execs courtside supporting their favorite players. LeBron James retweeted you and said, such a great idea. My girl, Sabrina Ionescu, also chimed in and tweeted at you, I like this take. Do you guys think it could happen?
I think so. Listen, I did not think that my tweet would pick up that kind of steam. But then again, when you have LeBron James saying that's a great idea and Sabrina saying she likes that take, here's the thing. I am a big fan of the WNBA. We are going, the majority of us are going to go to the game to tonight to support the Sparks. I'll tell you what, this year's game, Sunday, 10 o'clock in the morning. Ridiculous. I mean, no one's watching hoops at 10 a.m. I went to the game the year before that in Las Vegas. It was Wednesday at 4 p.m. I mean, these time slots are absolutely ridiculous. If they had the game in Vegas during the Summer League, LeBron would be courtside. Kyrie, Russell, like, I mean, I think, and by the way, the players like that. There's this feeling of they don't need that. It's not about need. They appreciate game. They appreciate that, like, LeBron's their courtside. They're fans of LeBron, and LeBron is fans of them, too. So we'll see if it happens. I think it makes a ton of sense. But, yeah, listen, I was at the Soho House with a friend, and I got a notification on my phone. It was King James, first time quote tweeting me. Very happy about that.
Congrats. Thanks. Yeah, Arash, the man himself, the legend. Are we even allowed to be in this room right now with such greatness?
I mean, I love the support that he definitely gives to those women, because without that, we wouldn't even be having, you know, this conversation. I mean, really,
you could argue LeBron's voice means more than Joe Biden, you know?
Well, I will 100%.
But listen, when Kobe went to games, I mean, the players appreciated that so much. And so I think if they can have an event where both leagues get together, it's not a one-off. It's not like LeBron choosing to go to one game. One night a year, again, make it a primetime game where the stars support the stars.
It's like the NBA All-Star game. Exactly. I mean, do people like really love watching that game? There's no defense. Yeah. It's more about like the whole show and like the people there and the slam dunk contest, which is now been just devalued by all the I wouldn't say bums because they're better at me than basketball, but all the people that like are like bench players playing in the dunk contest.
Well,
but.
And there's also I don't know if you've ever seen these before, like guys that are professional dunkers are way better than
Why don't they have them in the freaking dunk contest instead of Derrick Jones Jr., who can't play more than 8 minutes on the Bulls? You know what I'm saying? Like, no offense to Derrick Jones Jr., again, better basketball player than me, but again, I agree with you, Arash. This is a great idea. I hopefully they do that. And right now, the WNBA has no shortage of talent. This might be the most talented the league's been possibly ever, definitely in recent years, to bottom.
And it's just going to get better with Paige Buckets finally being able to get drafted maybe Bukers. In a couple years. Yeah,
she's great. And she,
transcendent player.
Also, the one thing I'll add, though, is we talked about this yesterday. Remember with the trophy they gave Kelsey Plume? It looked like a participation trophy and that I'd get at like a junior varsity banquet.
Her teammates gave her grief for it, and it's not her fault. And by the way, I'm sure it costs a lot of money and maybe silver. I have no idea, but it's like it just the perception, the optics are so bad. I mean, it looks like this coffee cup I'm holding right here. It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, I think this plan that you've laid out makes all the sense in the world. I think if there's also any league that's gonna take note from, you know, LeBron and their players to kind of grow the game, it's the WNBA. 100%. I think, and we've seen it, like you said, with this camaraderie that exists with these NBA stars and the WNBA. Like last year in Phoenix, when the Phoenix Mercury were making their playoff run, all of the Phoenix Suns were courtside every game, and it was great to see. And I think if this is in Vegas, while all these guys are already there, they're gonna eat it up. They're gonna love it, and it's gonna draw fans. It's gonna, you know, you put it at prime time opposed to 10 a.m. Yeah, I think it would make all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of prime time, this year's Home Run Derby and MLB All-Star Game at Dodger Stadium are on track to be the most expensive ever. The cheapest ticket, guys, for the Derby is $185, and for the All-Star Game, it is $316. The most expensive ticket for the Derby is $3,741, and for the All-Star Game, it is $5,567. Would any of you pay to go either event, and if so, which one?
Listen, by the way, if you're spending $3,000 on a Home Run Derby ticket, I mean, come on, I don't know exactly. But by the way, the prime seat for the Home Run Derby is in the outfield, right? You want to catch a baseball. This is unfortunate, and here's why. They need to get younger. The sport of baseball, I mean, the two gentlemen sitting across from us right now are two of the youngest true baseball fans I know. Guys, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I know that you can't give these tickets away, but, I mean, they're not getting the hardcore fans or the fans who can afford it. I mean, the cheapest ticket for it to be over $100 for the Home Run Derby and $300 for the game itself, it's crazy.
No, I agree 100%. To answer your question, no, I wouldn't pay for either, but I would much rather go to the Home Run Derby than the All-Star Game, in my opinion. I've done that in the past, and I love the Home Run Derby way more than the All-Star Game. It's way more exciting, no offense to the All-Star Game.
But would you guys, would you guys, sorry to interrupt you, but would you guys go to the outside festivities that they're doing, like the yoga and like all that other stuff? Like
yeah, that stuff was cool. When I went to Arizona in the All-Star game years ago, the Home Run Derby All-Star game, I went to all of it. Yeah. The Friday where they had all the festivities where you like meet people and the media stuff. That's super cool. Kind of reminds me of Summer League a little bit, you know, in the sense where you can like just see GMs, executives, you know, players, all that stuff, like connect, get more like, you know, have an intimate experience between the fans, the consumer, and the athlete. So I think that's cool. But I agree with Arash here. Manfred doesn't know what he's doing. I've said that before. Everyone hates him. He's possibly the worst commissioner in all of sports right now. Goodell has passed him. You know, Goodell's getting better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like Manfred is just a joke. Look, you have guys like Shohei Ohtani. You have guys like Aaron Judge. You have guys like, and it's not like, you have guys like Byron Buxton. I know a big argument is how are you going to get like the black population to watch baseball more? And it's like, you got superstars that are black too.
You have lightning in a bottle and you're not even.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is that every All-Star game, regardless of the sport, is for the fans.
Yeah.
And if you can't allow the fans to be there, to afford to be there, like, what are you doing? Like, I've never been to a Home Run Derby. I went to the All-Star game in San Francisco in 2007. I'm barely old. I was young enough to, I mean, I don't remember.
I heard that was a great All-Star. And speaking of the Derby, wasn't that Vlad that won that Derby?
I wasn't at the Derby. I don't know. We got there. I was just there for the game. So I've never been to a Derby. So if I had to pick one, probably the Derby, but that's just because I've never been to an All-Star game. I mean, to a Derby, I've been to an All-Star game, but I've always had that debate in my head of Derby All-Star game. Because, I mean, you get 50 of the best players in the game on one field. Like, that just doesn't happen. Yeah. You're going to see five guys who've won Cy Youngs on the mound in one night. Like, it doesn't get better than that.
But, GK, to your point, I do hope fans take advantage of the free activities. They're going to be in downtown. They're going to be in Santa Monica.
You can go to the draft for free.
The draft, exactly.
So many activities.
There's a lot going on down by the convention center and all that stuff.
So try to enjoy that. Do not spend $3,000 on a Home Run Derby ticket. But listen, if you got it and you want to spend it, God bless you. But
yeah, man, if you can afford it, good luck, man.
Exactly.
Power to you.
Yeah.
All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Dave Smith when we return right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, The Fan in Las Vegas on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or want to win tickets to a future game in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's go out to the Circa Sports guest hotline right now. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com for details. And here he is, our good friend, the sports god himself, Dave Smith. Dave, how are you?
Good, Arash and crew. How's everybody doing this afternoon?
Awesome, Dave. It's great to hear your voice.
We are living the dream, Ed. Dave, we just got back from Las Vegas. We were there for the Summer League. The league voted today. They are going to make the play-in a permanent fixture. I guess it was like a two-year trial run. I guess two questions, Dave. Your first thoughts when you heard about the play-in, and have you did you think that this would be something that could work?
You know, at first I didn't like it, you know, kind of being old-fashioned. I thought there was already too many teams in the playoffs for 16 out of 30 get in, Arash. But, you know, having looked at this the last couple of years, you know, the single elimination format and two extra teams getting in with the play-in, and 7 and 8 aren't automatic seeds anymore, and they got to play their way in. I kind of like it after watching it the last couple of years. It keeps teams more in contention the longer the year goes on. So, yeah, and I like the fact that the bottom feeders, the 7 and 8s, don't get an automatic best-of-7 series in the first round.
Yeah. Dave, this the Summer League so far in Las Vegas, have you watched it? I mean, I think it's been a good showcase so far.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, I said before the draft, I think that Jaden Ivey with the Pistons is going to be the best player in this draft, and I would have taken him first if I were the Orlando Magic. And I thought the Pistons had a great draft and did better than anybody. But, you know, Keegan Murray's going to be pretty good for the Sacramento Kings. But these guys are all going to be good players, LaRoche. But this kid is special. This kid reminds me of Ja Morant. This kid reminds me of some of the great NBA point guards. I know that's putting a lot of pressure on him. I think this kid is going to be an absolutely superstar NBA player.
Yeah, Dave, great minds think alike, man. I've been saying for a year that Jaden Ivey is the best player in the draft. I've made TikToks about it. And they're like, how do you not have Paolo number one overall? And I'm like, Jaden Ivey is the best player in the draft. Chet's two.
Yep.
And I don't even have Paolo in my top three. I like Paolo a lot. Like, I have Jabari Smith, and, you know, we can go into longer-term prospects. Chet Holmgren's two for me. I think he's an offensive superstar. I wanted to ask you about that. If you're the Pistons right now, speaking of that, after Jaden Ivey's ankle injury, after putting up 11 points, 2 assists in like 4 minutes, some ridiculous like that, do you just sit him out like what the Magic are doing with Paolo? That's kind of what I would do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He wouldn't play anymore. He had 20 points in his first game, and like you said, 11 in 5 minutes and game number. I think he's proven what a force he's going to be, so why risk a further injury here? And this Pistons team is going to be a problem in a couple of years. I think Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey can be the best backcourt in the NBA, maybe in 2 years. And you add Jalen Duren, who they took in the first round as well in the lottery. What a 7-foot super off the charts athlete. He's only 18 years old. And, Sadiq Bey. And I think Troy Weaver, the general manager who they plucked from Oklahoma City, who was the assistant GM to Sam Presti, who I love. He's doing some great things there in Detroit.
Yeah, and the only bad pick he made was Killian Hayes, you know, who I said was Dante Exum 2.0 at the time, and he is. He sucks. They need to get rid of him. But everybody else, you're right. I mean, Detroit's going to be a force in the Eastern Conference for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wanted to ask you, Dave, about the Angels again. I always got to bring it up. Don't think maybe they've won one game since we last spoke when Ohtani was on the mound, of course. Two, maybe two. I can't even remember. 11-32. In their last, what is that, 43 games? Jesus Christ, that is just the worst record in the MLB, by the way, since May 25th. How is this possible with the roster that is definitely, I know I told Jake it's a top 10 roster in the league, but top 15, I think we can all agree upon, right? They should at least be 500, right? Dave, what's going on here? What do we fix?
Well, I need to remind you guys again, and Arash knows all about this. I put the curse of the sports god on the Angels in 2009, and they were 24-13. When I first started coming on with you guys, I think they were 24-13 and doing really well, and I re-cursed them on your show. And I said, well, watch what happens now. I guess they don't know who they're messing with here. So I re-cursed, and like you said, what, 11-32 since, but... Yeah, and seriously, every year I look at their roster and say they should be a lot better than they are. And how management there has survived without all getting fired by Artie Moreno. I know a lot of this is his fault as well. But from the president, the VP, everybody on down, how all of them haven't lost their jobs with all the money they've spent. And the lack of production on this team is unbelievable. Showtay's got to get out of there. And I said at the time, when Mike Trout signed that huge contract, he made a huge mistake. He's going to be 31 now. As great as he is, he's wasted his career. He's playing in anonymity out here in Orange County. He should have never signed that extension.
Dave, the Dodgers, on the other hand, are 9-1 in their last 10, have won, you know, 7 in a row. There's been a lot of talk about Clayton Kershaw potentially starting the All-Star game kind of as a nod to his historic career with the game being in L.A. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think that would be a nice thing, or should it go to the guy who's, you know, statistically had the best year?
You know, who cares? It's an exhibition game. It's a practice game. Well, why not? Why not start Kershaw in the All-Star game since it's a home game for the Dodgers and they're playing at Dodger Stadium? Yeah, why not? He's only going to go an inning or two anyway. I think it would be a good thing. And by the way, Mr. Kershaw, he's got to get it done in the postseason, which he's never done in his career. This is, another decent regular season and an all-star game, but until he gets it done postseason, he's going to be the James Harden of Major League Baseball.
Dave, there's been a lot of talk. If the struggles continue, do you trade Shohei Ohtani? Do you look for a trade partner for Trout? Again, it sounds crazy to even think about trading a transcendent generational talent, but if the struggles continue, at some point, there are cheaper ways to be one of the worst teams in the league. Yeah.
If I were Shohei, I'd be looking for a way out. And I would convey that to the Angels, so maybe they'll have to deal. I think he's a free agent after next year, if I'm not mistaken. So they're going to he's going to have to try and find a way out, I would think, the kind of the Babe Ruth of this generation. And as far as Trout goes, let me ask you, Arash, as great as he is, and he's been the best player in Major League Baseball, and he has, 24 home runs right now and over 50 RBIs, but he's sitting around 260. In the last couple of years, he's been injured a lot. And he's going on 31, and he's got 10 years left on that $430 million deal. Would he be an easy guy to trade right now, as great as he is? You're going to pick up 10 years and about over $300 million on him if you deal him.
I mean, that's the problem there. I mean, you could, there will be a line of suitors that I think that would want him. But here's the problem with Trout. For him, I think at some point in time, you have to, the struggles of the team gets to a player. When he was, what was he, like 0 of 16 or 0 of 17? And I think when you're like on a team that is going nowhere, my view is if Trout got traded to a contending team, he would just improve that much more. I mean, just think being on a team that has no chance to win, it gets to you.
Yeah, I mean, Trout's done what he's done for however long with really no incentive for teams to pitch to him.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, there's been no protection in the lineup for however long. And Dave, tell me what you think about this. I think Ohtani's best route out of there is if the Angels just kind of, they got to trade him this year, I think.
I know.
Because I think that trading him with a year of control left on his contract, the Angels have one of the worst farm systems in baseball. So you're not going to replenish, you know, the major league talent that way. And you got to find a way to replenish the farm system. And I think you get more back for him if you do it now and kind of eat your losses with a year left on the deal. Dave, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you, although I don't know how happy Shohei is living in Orange County. Maybe he wants to, you know, play his whole career with the Angels. I don't know if he wants out, but you would think if he has an ounce of competitive spirit in his body, the same with Mike Trout, they're going to want to try and find a way out and try to get into the postseason and try to play games that mean something. So, yeah, I think if Shohei convenes to the front office and to management that he's probably not going to resign, they're going to have to trade him right now. That's a good point. So I think he's going to have to make that clear to the front office. And well, poor Mike Trout. I still can't understand why he's nobody's offering me $430 million. I guess I can understand it. And he's living in his mansion in Newport Beach and sitting out on his deck every night watching the sunset. But you'd think, I mean, he's a competitor. Is he a type A personality? Does he want to play in the postseason? Does he want to compete for world championships? Or is he just happy wasting his career with the Angels?
Dave, I'll tell you this one thing I know about Shohei Ohtani. When he was in high school, he wrote down a list of things he wanted to accomplish between the time he was 18 and 42. And by the time he was 24, he wanted to throw a no-hitter and win 25 games, wanted to do all these things, win two World Series by the age of 32. These are just things that he wrote down. But like one thing, he wants to win. Like, that's one thing I know about Ohtani. Yeah. He's a generational talent. I don't think he's going to just be okay sitting in Anaheim watching his, you know, career. Yeah. It's kind of what's happened to Trout.
Well, what is the scoreless streak up to now? Around 30 innings, right?
Somewhere around there. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's getting up.
This is another couple of shutouts. This is going to start to get interesting, getting close to Oral Hershiser, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Don Drysdale.
Well, not only that, I think, you know, Ohtani, look, this is, I was going to ask you, Dave, because as bad as the Angels are, right, Ohtani's still hitting 260, 19 home runs, 55 RBIs, 13 stolen bases, and he's going to have close to a 2 ERA soon on the mound. If it wasn't for that game at Yankee Stadium where he gave up 6 runs, or that game in Texas in May where he gave up 5 runs, his ERA would be the best in the MLB. I mean, this guy is just dominant every time he goes to the mound.
It's so historic what he's doing with the power and the pitching. Who else can pitch a shutout
exactly.
with 13 strikeouts and the next day have two home runs and 8 RBIs?
Exactly.
Who else does that?
So my question for you is, does it set a bad precedent if you give Ohtani the MVP every year because, you know, no one else has ever done what he's done? And quite frankly, yeah, as bad as the Angels are, every time he's on the mound, he wins him a game. He has the highest WAR in the MLB, and that's because he pitches and hits, obviously. Or do you kind of run with, okay, let's prioritize winning. Let's give Aaron Judge or Yordan Alvarez the MVP and give Ohtani maybe the Cy Young. What would you do in a situation like this? Because if you start giving him the MVP again this year, I mean, I know he deserves it, but he's the MVP every year for the next 10 years, right?
I think he is. Yeah, it's just like the Michael Jordan LeBron comparisons. They should have both won the MVP 10 years in a row, except the writers wanted to break it up occasionally and would throw a bone to somebody else. But I mean, who's 46 home runs last year, and now he's on pace to win 15 games at least pitching with an ERA around 2 and all the strikeouts. So this is kind of surpassing Babe Ruth, what he did back in the day. This is like something we've never seen before, what he's performing on the field. So, yeah, even though the Angels aren't any good and their upper management doesn't have a clue, I think you do have to give him the MVP as long as he keeps this up. Who else is doing what he's doing?
Exactly. That's my thing, right? As bad as the Angels are, every time he does well, they win, right? Every time he's on the mound, they win. Every time he doesn't.
The only time they win that, when he pitches.
Exactly. And when he doesn't hit, they lose. Plain and simple. Right.
Yeah, I just want to echo the Babe Ruth thing. If Babe Ruth played in today's MLB, I mean, Babe Ruth was playing against guys who were plumbing and fixing toilets until 3:30 in the afternoon.
And Babe Ruth was a severe alcoholic. You know,
If Babe Ruth saw like a 90-mile-an-hour slider that these guys are throwing today, he would put the bat down and he would never walk back into the box. Like what Ohtani's doing at this level is insane. Like he is excelling in two areas of the game where guys dedicate years of their life in their career to trying to master one of them.
And they also weren't making the money that they were making back then.
Oh no, not at all.
I mean, a change is imminent in any league that you're going to, that you're going to be seeing.
For
right?
sure.
But I also think it's unfair and kind of insulting to label the players back then plumbers and repairmen. They were the best in the world back then, and we have some great Hall of Fame caliber players. But what you can say, I think, and the reason I think there should be an asterisk on every single major league record pre-1947 is the banning of the black players. You could make a case Major League Baseball wasn't even the best league around. The Negro Leagues might have been superior to Major League Baseball back then. So I think any record pre-1947 has to have an asterisk by it.
Yeah. Dave, your thoughts on Tiger Woods? I mean, speaking of not knowing what it's like to be given a $400 million contract, I think it's a little bit crazy. Yeah. Tiger Woods saying, I don't get why these guys are going to the LIV tournament. Well, Tiger, they're
getting paid.
They're getting paid $100 million, bro.
That explains it. Do you blame any of these players for doing $125 million for Dustin Johnson, $125 for DeChambeau? Mickelson probably got a similar deal as well. Yeah, absolutely. You can't blame any of these guys doing it and grabbing the money here. They get to spend more time at home with the families. It's only a three-day tournament. There's no cuts. But whoever finishes last gets $120,000. Winner gets $4 million. Of course guys are going to bolt and go over there. And Arash, maybe you know this better than me. Are PGA Tour players under contract, and do they have to exclusively play for the PGA? Because I know the players and the LIV Tour has filed a lawsuit now for restraint of trade against the PGA.
I don't think that they are, Dave. I think that they had the right to go and sign where they wanted to go.
I think everybody's a free agent, Dave, as far as that's concerned.
Well, they're allowed to play three tournaments a year outside the PGA, but for some reason they're not letting them do LIV. Live.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah, no, I don't get it. And did you also see the transportation that they were providing?
I was going to say, did anyone see their plane?
It's amazing.
It looks like a nightclub.
Exactly.
and that's just the main one, like not even the bottom of the plane. Like it's phenomenal.
Hey, go get that bag, right?
That reminds me of Arash in the VIP rooms in Vegas.
That's right. But Dave, this is so, and we've talked about this before. I mean, no one really wants to talk about, China and the NBA, but here it's like, it's Saudi-backed money, and it's like, we could choose to focus on that with a variety of leagues, not just LIV.
Well, it is so hypocritical here for everybody in the sports media jumping on this and say, well, oh my God, they're taking money from Saudi Arabia and they're people who have a terrible record of human rights. And these same media people are off, you know this, total silence about the NBA's relationship to China and how the Chinese Communist Party is has a genocide going against people of color right now in northwest China. They're using them as slave labor. We know the tortures and the atrocities and the murders going on there. Not a peep out of the sports media about the NBA's connection to China. No criticism of the NBA players and the NBA ownership and the NBA television networks for the business they do in accepting blood money from China based on the back of slave labor.
Dave, one more thing I want to ask you about. Novak Djokovic just won his fourth straight Wimbledon, his 21st Grand Slam overall, one behind Nadal, one ahead of Federer. Where does this, you know, rank him all time in terms of this generation and in just in terms of the sport of tennis?
Well, in my opinion, he's the greatest player of all time. I know he's one behind Rafa, but he would have won in Australia this year had he been allowed to play. I think he's won 9 times there. He completely dominates that tournament. And to me, he's the best player I've ever seen. I've got him number one. And I agree with John McEnroe, by the way. It's ridiculous that he's not being allowed to play at the U.S. Open come September. I mean, this guy, he's had COVID twice, so he's got the antibodies and he's got the natural immunity. He's probably in better condition and better physical shape than any athlete in the world. But the odds of him spreading COVID to everybody there are almost zero. I think it is so unfair and ridiculous he's not going to be allowed to play. Let him play. Test him every day. If he tests positive, then throw him out. I don't understand banning him like this.
Yeah, Dave, I totally agree with you. Can he, by the way, though, be considered the best if he's not allowed to compete in these Opens?
Well, he will be by me.
Yes.
I agree with you.
He's the best player I've ever seen.
Again, I agree with you. I think that he is the best tennis player of our generation at this current moment in time. I'm not disagreeing with you whatsoever. But the fact that he's not able to play in these Opens just because he doesn't want to get vaxxed is, I just think it's kind of ridiculous. In my opinion, I think it's ridiculous.
Well, also,
absolutely, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, we're letting a million people have come into this country over the southern border this year who are not tested for COVID and are not vaccinated, and we're going to worry about one guy who's an elite athlete and not let him play in the U.S. Open. It's so hypocritical and ridiculous.
Yeah. Dave, I wanted to ask you about Taylor Fritz. Is he the next great American tennis player?
Boy, it sure looks like it, doesn't he? How close did he come to beating Novak? And what was it in the semis?
Yep.
When he took him to 5 sets right down to the end? Yeah, this kid is the goods here. This kid, I like the way he plays. So, yeah, he could be the future of American tennis. And man, do we need it. How bad is tennis on the men's side these days? And with Serena and Venus retiring, we need somebody to step up on the women's side as well.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, and so, Dave, like I mentioned, we just got back from Las Vegas. Last thing for you, we have to figure a way to make this happen for you to join us in Las Vegas. Canelo Triple G, September, we got to make this happen. I mean, those are always, like, the best shows, Dave. I mean, you don't know who's walking the hallways. It could be, like, Evander Holyfield or George Foreman or something like that. But so, like, put that on your calendar, Dave. We got to figure out a way to make that happen.
Absolutely. We got to get there, Arash. And, we've had a lot of fun times in Vegas covering fights. And, you know, as you and I both say, Arash, there's nothing in any sport that compares to a big fight, a fight week and a fight night in Vegas. There's no rush. There's no feeling. There's no adrenaline. There's no goosebumps. No other sport compares to a major Vegas fight.
100%. And I've told people this. I said, don't care about the ticket to the fight. The fight might not be that good. The people watching, you will never have anything close to the people watching that you'll get. If you walk the strip of Vegas, the Saturday night of a big fight, I promise you, you won't regret it. So we're going to plan on doing that in September with you, Dave. That's all the time that we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a fiend. Thank you for listening to Believe.
You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.